Despite the headwinds at Tesla, the auto industry is moving apace to get new technology out of the lab and onto the roads at scale. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with an expert, investor, and self-described car nerd about the state of tech in the auto industry. And that begins now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. It's a common question, and I think it's a fair one. When are we getting flying cars? There are cartoons from decades ago predicting flying cars.
George Jetson's Daily Driver.
With a little luck, I might beat the traffic home.
This flying saucer-inspired aero car has everything you'd need.
The survival of the sneakiest.
From its briefcase conversion to child-friendly bomb hatches and its seatbeltless sliding ultra-modern seating. Although flying cars have yet to become a reality, many online sources claim the technology is just around the corner. But you can't really believe anything you see on the internet.
And that is why we asked a journalist, expert, and investor to share his knowledge about the car industry, flying cars, alternative fuels. We're going to pick Charlie Vogelheim's brain this week. Charlie has his own show and podcast called The Flying Car, and I'm just going to get industry updates from the source. Here we go.
Charlie Vogelheim, I am the host of The Flying Car.
Haven't seen you in a few months.
No, I've been traveling a little bit. We've certainly been rolling the show out. We come in on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 here at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I have to travel, we'll do a little bit of a preview show or tape it. A lot going on this summer.
In case people have not caught the show yet, obviously it lives online forever and in podcast form, but tell us about The Flying Car. Why that title?
Well, you know, The Flying Car is kind of the end game. We're in this wonderful area here, Silicon Valley, San Francisco, where we see these autonomous cars being developed, and so much is going on around the possibility of a transformation of transportation. I actually have a pilot's license, and I've spent my career in the automotive world, but that kind of brings the two together at the end, a flying car.
I get it.
To talk about both.
And you cover autonomous, what else?
Yeah, you know, I use the acronym ACES, which is a great one. So it's autonomous, connected, for C, E is electrification, and S is shared. And shared, of course, would be shared rides or shared ownership. There's a lot other things to talk about, mobility,
right?
Multimodal and things like that, but those are the coverage.
I like electrics for this time, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Mostly because Tesla's been popping around the headlines a lot, and I don't want to get into the weeds on the Tesla thing because it's so dynamic. But I will say that Elon Musk built that Gigafactory on the promise that the Powerwall was going to be a high demand. That has not happened yet. So what about electrification going on?
Well, if you take it from the top in terms of us, you know, again, going to a cleaner energy source, electrification, you can talk about solar, you can talk about wind power.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing becomes one of storage. In other words, these forms or the electricity, the electrification happens maybe outside of or away from where the demand is. So you need to store it. And there's, of course, what the battery is. It's a way of storing that potential energy. If you think of it in simple terms, you know, gasoline or diesel is energy storage. It's the potential to use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things on electrification that we talk about in fits and starts is hydrogen. And if you and I were sitting around with a blank sheet of paper going, wow, let's solve this whole energy thing, what do we have the most of? And it's hydrogen.
Right.
Well, wait, what happens when it's combusted? It's water vapor. Okay, wind check, wind check.
Yeah, right, sounds good so far.
We might have more fog, though. So it's the reality is, and if you go back to your chemistry class or you envision a periodic table, which we all do, it's number one, and which means it's the smallest of molecules, which means it's very hard to store and to transport. Additionally, it really likes to adhere and when it forms other molecules like H2O, which is water. So the separation of it is energy inefficient. So in other words, sometimes it takes us more energy to create a usable hydrogen than it does the energy that we can extract from that,
right,
recombining that in a combustion form. Sorry, I'll pull out the whiteboard and and things like that.
We'll put some links in the show notes.
So let's just think about that. But then you become a question of, here's a great example, the great state of Hawaii, off in the middle of the ocean, doesn't really have any carbon resources. So anything that it does utilize has to be shipped there. That adds now all of a sudden a layer in cost,
sure,
complexity to it. But they have plenty of wind and they have plenty of sun. So, and they have plenty of water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that they could start bringing down the curve to cross over to say maybe it's a break even with hydrogen creation here. Then you get into areas of distribution and storage. And again, that's a problem. If you put it in a tank, you come back and you find a bunch has seeped through the membranes or through the walls of the tank. And you can do things like ceramic linings and such. Again, getting in the weeds, the thing is now there's been some science coming from overseas, our friends down under in Australia, I've been reading and learning about that they can combine the hydrogen with ammonia,
okay,
and that creates a more transportable, stable liquid, or let's put it another way, potential energy that then can easily be more easily separated on site and utilized. Now, what does that mean? Now,
yeah.
One of the advantages of electricity in a electrical form, as a Tesla and things like that, we have electricity going to all of our homes. So we could plug in that vehicle at our house.
Mm-hmm.
We could plug in overnight.
Right.
Well, not everyone has a home and a garage. So in city streets like San Francisco, that doesn't necessarily work. And maybe we can do it at work. But we do have all these service stations, gas stations, traditional service stations that are out there. And that's where hydrogen could be distributed. And it is in a number of stations there. So
there's one in Berkeley near my house.
Well, and there's one up north in Mill Valley just across the bridge, and there's one down by the airport. There's several in the Bay Area, and there's a number of cars that are rolled out, as both Toyota and Honda have rolled out hydrogen vehicles, which are essentially electric vehicles. The hydrogen on the vehicle is creating an electrical power to run an electric motor. So effectively, in that case, hydrogen is like the battery. It is the fuel.
It seems like we've been behind the eight ball on this technology for a long, long time, though.
Yeah, yeah. Hydrogen has been one of those things like it's, where are we? Oh, it's in the future. How far? 20 years. And then every 20 years we go, it's still 20.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But maybe this science, you know, again, in Hawaii. And Hawaii is also working with the armed services and the Navy or other armed services. When you think about the logistics, a service encampment, and you know, we're talking about in a battlefield or something like that,
mm-hmm,
that they need power and they need water for the servicemen. And the fact that they could take dirty water, create a hydrogen fuel out of it, and the exhaust is clean water, there's also a lower heat signature when you operate an electric motor as opposed to internal combustion, which is good for, you know, not getting on the enemy's eyesight.
I would ask a general question about technology when it comes to automotive. And just, this is a really this is a dumb guy question, okay? Is it like a roller coaster going up when it comes to tech? It clicks up incrementally and then all of a sudden just drops off and everybody's got it and then it hits the marketplace and everything's good and well. I'm thinking like anything, like cruise control even.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about features in that regard. And certainly when we're talking broadly about technology in which you spend your days on, which is great, you get a little bit spoiled by Moore's Law where all of a sudden there's,
right,
or I should say exponential changes in memory or lowering the cost. You know, capabilities go up as costs go down, which is just the opposite of physics in some times.
Right.
When you're thinking about,
right,
wait a second, dynamics. My car goes faster and uses less gas.
Right.
How did that happen? We see it every now and then with some developments. We saw that with the high bypass engine on jets where all of a sudden they were more fuel efficient. They could go farther, and they were quieter. And you're going, wait, how do we check all of those boxes
right,
at the same time? And every now and then, I think we've expected that to happen a little bit with batteries, where we've hoped that there's going to be some material or some science that creeps into it, the way transistors and then silicon chips crept into electronics, that all of a sudden we've got this super battery that we've seen witnessed in different science fiction or adventure movies that is out there. The ability to capture and store power to use it at a later time is really what we're trying to accomplish here, because a car is always moving, or a vehicle, whether it's a car or a truck or public transportation.
All right. Prospects for hydrogen. Let's go back there one last time. My last question would have to be, is this, I don't want to say tipping point, is this the tip of the spear when it comes to gaining market share for alternative fuel, and specifically hydrogen?
Well, it's a great question, because if you go back to even just say, why haven't we developed or sold more electric cars out there right now? And the simple reason is they're expensive and we don't have enough power on board the cars to make everyone comfortable in terms of range anxiety.
How far can
you go on this vehicle?
Right.
And the other downside to electrification that we're seeing in aircraft is the weight of the battery is always the same. One of the advantages to a liquid fuel is, over the course of the journey, the weight is going away because you're using it up. Hydrogen has the promise of being quick to refuel, possibly giving us an extended range, as you could just change the size of the tank. Doesn't change any of the infrastructure costs of the vehicle, like a battery. Changing the size of the battery certainly does. And then again, the distribution. Those are the three things that we're looking for.
Charlie, next time, let's talk about the sharing part of your ACES,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, happy to.
That's interesting. It's been too long between visits. Thanks for coming in.
I love to talk to you. Thanks so much, Jason.
That was Charlie Vogelheim. He's the host of the show and podcast, The Flying Car. He's also a principal at investment firm Vogelheim Capital. For links to Charlie's work, please check the show notes for this week. You'll find the article at KGOradio.com. And we do get social during the week, too. I'm on Twitter, at KGOJason, and we're at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And that's it for this week's show. One more time, all the links to all of our shows are at KGOradio.com. And just keyword search Techonomics wherever you get your podcasts if you want to hear the extended versions of our interviews and stories. For producer Liana Wilcox, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. Thanks for listening and have great weeks, everybody.